And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Happy New Year from The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Hey, folks, recognize that voice? He's back.
I am, and I'm freezing.
Yeah, you were down in Florida since, just before Halloween, right?
No, we didn't actually get down there till the second week of November because of getting Mom settled in assisted
living. Oh, yeah,
that's
right. I forgot about that. Yep. So you were down there for about six weeks?
Yep.
And the weather was nice down there?
Yeah, except, you don't even want to hear about it.
Well, you know what?
There were 3 days it was only in the 60s and everybody was freezing.
I have to tell you this much, Mark, at least on Facebook and different places, you didn't rub it in our faces.
No, I do not.
That it was 80 degrees where you were and it was zero here.
No, you know, it's the old axiom, if you're warm and happy, keep your mouth shut.
That's a good one. And isn't it funny, you know, a week ago today, I was playing golf in Mohiqua.
Yeah.
In a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saving the coldest day of 2017
until I
got back here.
Well, it'll get better.
I know.
Well, we're glad you're back. I want to really thank Dan Walker for sitting in with me while you were away.
And our prayers go out to he and Patty, his wife. Patty's father passed away, and Dan, if you're listening, and Patty, we're praying for you, and we feel your sorrow, but we also are in joy that he is in a wonderful place.
Yeah, amen. I agree, Mark. Also, the ladies did a great job on a couple shows while you were gone.
Did they really?
You probably tuned in down there in Florida because we're streaming now online, you know.
Well, yeah.
You can listen to the show live online at WDCRradio.com anywhere in the world.
That
is pretty good. And Jim can get a report and tell. We've heard people listening to us in San Francisco and in Florida.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, Missouri, different states. We get a report where people click in and listen to us. So
awesome.
It'll be something to count down when we need somebody in Idaho to listen, you know, so we'll finally get our 50th
state. Yeah, that's great.
Well, this morning on The Cradle and the Convert, Mark, we're going to talk to Sister Marguerite Cook, Jill Crum, and Paula Owens about Mats for the Homeless. And this is a project that is especially timely with it being this cold, and just a service they provide to the homeless here in town. We'll probably chat a little bit about the homeless, the number of homeless, and what people can do to help when we come back on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR, Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, sitting here with Mark Bartholomew. In the studio this morning, we have a full house.
Yes, we do.
We have three guests with us that are going to discuss a project that they are all involved in making mats for the homeless. And it's an amazing thing they do, and we're going to talk about it right here with Sister Marguerite Cook, who works here at the hospital in the psychiatric ward, or I don't know if we even call it a ward anymore.
Behavioral health.
Ah, I like that much better, sister. Thank you. Jill Crum is the director of psychiatric adults, and Paula Owens is the manager of guest and hospitality services. and they're all involved in the Mats for the Homeless project. Good morning and welcome, ladies. We're glad you could join us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's amazing that you got here on such a cold, brutal morning. It's just been a lovely last 24 hours.
Man, has it.
But it was nice to have a white Christmas for the most part. But what we're going to talk about today, white Christmases probably aren't the best thing when we're trying to help the homeless community in Decatur, Illinois. And when we talk about the homeless, we talk about shelter and we talk about a place they have to have somewhere to stay warm. They
Absolutely.
Have to have a place, some sort of hospitality, and they need to have some kind of things to help keep them warm, whether they go to the Catholic Charities and get clothes or whatever.
The Oasis.
Spend time at the Oasis,
right.
have some coffee and warm up there.
God's Shelter.
Maybe have lunch at one of the different soup kitchens.
Good Samaritan.
But these ladies are involved in making mats that the, that they can have and keep with them and give them a dry place to sleep at least when they're outside if they haven't been able to find shelter. So somebody who wants to lead this off and tell me about these mats and how you make them, sister? I think maybe you'd be the best one.
Well, I'm not sure that I'm the best, but I certainly am enthused about this project. And we started, I actually started back in September when I joined a new parish in Mount Zion. And they were already making them. They had a goal of 60 per year, and I think they excelled their goal. But what really tugged my heart was they were making mats for children also, mm-hmm. because the shelters had asked that they have specifically smaller mats for little ones. And so that just grabbed my heart, thinking about little cold ones.
Oh, yeah.
This time of year, we always think of people being cold, not necessarily homeless, but certainly cold, and there's never enough shelter or warmth in weather like this. So I started learning how to make them, and now I'm on my third child homeless mat, and we're making them to give to the shelters. And when the folks come in, they are given one of these mats to lay down on, and it is theirs to take with them. So it can cover them up, or it can lay underneath them to keep them warm and dry.
Sister, do you know where this concept originated?
You know, I know they were making rugs 20 years ago out of these, but
right.
the mats for the homeless, I'm not sure of, but they're so popular now, you can Google and find out all about them. They even have a name for this. It's called Plarn, P-L-A-R-N. And what it is it's plastic yarn that is rolled up into balls, and we carry balls that have been rolled. Excuse me.
Oh, look at that.
And they act just like yarn. And so when you take a ball out and tie it to the last of the end of the string, you just keep right on crocheting. It's a simple single crochet for those that know how to crochet, and it's a P-hook, and it's there's nothing hard about it other than it's bigger than normal yarn.
Yeah, it is, isn't
it? Yeah, it certainly is. And I got to tell you, sister handed me this mat that she's working on right now, Dave, mm-hmm. just a little while ago, and said, put it across your legs. And, of course, you know, we had just come in from
yeah.
outside, and it is warm. I mean, you wouldn't think what appears to be plastic bags fashioned into this yarn. It's incredible that how much that grabs your body heat and holds it.
Yeah, these are made out of bags that come from Walgreens or Kmart or Walmart, or they're just the plastic bags, what we refer to as we see them blowing across the street
as trash.
Urban tumbleweeds.
Yeah, right.
Then they're shredded up, is that right, sister, somehow, and into strips so that you can...
We don't shred them. We cut them into 3-inch strips. And then we loop them together to make a long train. Mm-hmm. And that's when we start to roll them. So with our volunteers, both at Mount Zion, Holy Spirit, Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Church, and First Christian Church, and our volunteers here, will have enough steps that even if you don't crochet, you can actually participate in the project because there are many steps, and it's good to get involved. You mentioned a few stores, and I just want to say thank God for Kroger's and Walmart because they are the bulk of our plastic bags. You don't see that in this one because I'm making a child's size, and I'm using bright colors and white.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly the camouflage, as Joe calls it, is brown from Kroger's and gray from Walmart. Do I have that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
And most of those bags are going into the adults. But we're trying to use the pretty colors for the child's.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, what are the dimensions on the child's and for the adults?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, and I didn't bring those figures, but I know the child's 48 inches, and the adult is like six foot two or something like that, but how many feet that is.
Now, they actually lay on top of these mats.
They lay on top of them, that is correct, at the homeless shelter, and then they take them with them. And we've been told they wrap up in them in cars as well.
Okay. Mm.
So they are used as blankets.
Well, it's amazing that somebody came up with a, that's a brilliant idea of recycling for an absolutely wonderful purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when you think about that.
And Dave, I think it's important for our listeners to realize, because I don't know how many do, but the homeless is a much different population, I think, than the average person who is not homeless perceives it to be. I think they think the folks standing on the corners with signs and that are approaching you on the streets asking for money for something to eat or gas money to get to visit someone in a hospital in another city.
Yeah, we've heard those stories.
Yes, but I think they think those are homeless individuals. And most of my experience, and I suspect yours is the same with the homeless, is they don't like making contact with others. Many of them are very much to themselves, and they don't ask for anything. They make do on their own, and that's why this is, in my heart, extremely endearing, because this is something they don't ask for, but that is made with love by God's hands and given to them, and it's therefore a gift from God.
Absolutely.
And I just think this is really, really a super
Well, and I think it's neat, too, that St. Mary's is involved in this so deeply with the staff here. And they're always looking for volunteers to slice up these bags into the strips and to roll them. And we're going to give you some information a little bit later on how to contact any of these three fine ladies today to get involved if you'd like to help with this. But I think I would kind of like to just discuss for a second the issue of homelessness in Decatur. Mm-hmm. Mark, you and I were both police officers for 30 years in town. And, I mean, we knew that there were some homeless people.
Sure.
But I think it's a hidden population to some degree, and you don't really see. You know, they do a count every, when is it, in October or January? They do a count. They go on the street I don't know if it's a community organization or who, but they actually try to contact and count, and the number is staggering.
Well, and I think that's an underrepresented number in comparison with reality, Dave, because as I said, a lot of those who are homeless don't like to interact.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think, you know, most of them are where it, during the day, they can find some shelter and food and so forth. But at night, I think that's where the public doesn't realize. I mean, as most of us climb into a warm bed and a pillow to lay our heads on and a mattress to lay in and covers in the security of our home, they don't realize that we used to deal with folks who slept in doorways, the vestibules of stores, and in a fetal position, and even outdoors, you know, in the entryway, not inside, in the entryway, and covered with newspapers. Central Park, we used to find folks sleeping on the benches, under the benches. You know, the businesses that had the stairways that led down to an entry door, many times they were in that stairwell.
Well, and I've noticed this week on the news, too, there's warming centers are open.
Yes.
707 Eastwood, the library. There were several of them here locally where people can come in at night. I saw the Salvation Army's homeless shelter was full.
Yes.
And it's just very difficult. You know, we need to pray. We really need
Absolutely.
To pray for those folks. Which brings me to a little bit of the St. Mary's issue here, since these our guests are mainly working with the psychiatric unit, so they probably are pretty well informed on what and who these folks are that are seeking help or seeking these mats or a warm place to stay. And a lot of them do have addiction or mental issues.
PTSD.
I'd be correct.
A lot of PTSD folks out there, Dave.
Well, I just think that it's just, to me, hard to imagine staying outside in this kind of weather. It's just, I don't know, untenable, I guess, is one of the, what's the word. And whatever we can do to help that situation, you know, we should do. And I know the churches here in town, virtually all the churches, have a door service where you can go up if you need something. I know the Catholic parishes all have that. If you need food, and I'll tell you what, the church secretaries are pretty shrewd when it comes to telling the ones that really need help,
yeah,
and the ones that really are just.
That's right.
And you know, we see this outside my parish downtown Decatur. We deal with some aggressive panhandlers and things like that.
Sure.
And what we don't want to do is paint the homeless with a broad brush, that they're all that they're all panhandlers and that they're all, you know, looking to get over on folks. There are people that are struggling.
Yes.
And they say there are a lot of people that are one paycheck away from being homeless.
Oh, I think there's a lot of truth in that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, there are people in the community, and Mark, you wouldn't expect it. I visit a nursing home.
I know you do.
I take communion to two or three of them. And one of the nursing homes, I struck up a friendship with a daughter of a lady that is in the nursing home. She's 103, and the daughter stays with her virtually around the clock.
Sure.
And we got to be pretty good friends, and we got to talking one night, and she said that she let it slip that she was sleeping in her car at one of the hotels in town or in the parking lot at Walmart. She was spending her sleeping hours in her car. And when I kind of called her on that, then she kind of wanted to back off. She didn't really want me to know that. Well, it broke my heart to think that she's living in her car during the evenings and staying with her mother at the nursing home during the day. And I talked to my pastor, and we were able to help her find a place and get her back into an apartment.
Wow.
We helped set up.
That's great.
We helped set up first month and last month deposit. And now she is doing a little part-time job. She's finally eligible for her Social Security.
Oh, great.
And she's back on her feet. But I don't know if it was just pride or embarrassment, but she did not want me to know that literally she was homeless.
That's right.
And it came out in a very unusual way, and then she was embarrassed.
Well,
I thank God that she did let it slip. You know, there's no coincidences.
And that's right.
And that I was able to find her some help. And I think if we look around, you know, we see Jesus everywhere. If we just look around, we'll see him everywhere.
Yeah.
And this may have been an opportunity for me to help someone get into some housing. Sherry and I helped with some food and got her back on her feet, and she's established now, paying her bills, living in a nice apartment, and still spends every day at the nursing home with her mom.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing. But I would never have guessed from my visits with her that she was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we just kind of have to open our eyes and look around.
Yeah.
And
open our ears in this case.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of cues maybe get delivered that way.
You might be right, Mark. Well, you know, I think that these mats are a great start, and it'd be nice if we could make cocoons out of them, and you could crawl all up inside them, you know. But they are very nice. And how, if some of our listeners would like to get involved in preparation, collection, crocheting, or whatever, how can they get involved in helping with the mats for the homeless project?
Well, here at St. Mary's, we are starting to collect the bags that Sister referred to, the Walmart recycled bags or new ones. We'll take whatever we can get. Mm-hmm. And we're collecting those. We are flattening them. And then, as she said, we're going to cut them into strips to make the loops, to make the ball of blarn, and then the crocheting. So first step is to collect bags, and we need about 700 bags to do a mat.
Wow.
So each mat. Wow.
Now, are there collection places around the hospital, around town, at the churches?
Right now, they're at the information desk. Uh-huh. St. Mary's in the lobby.
In the beautiful lobby.
In the beautiful lobby.
We love that lobby.
And then we take them to the volunteer room.
Okay. All right. So, folks, if you have bags from Walmart, Kroger, any of the plastic recyclable bags, bring them in here to St. Mary's and drop them off at the information desk. And maybe you can get involved in some way or another other than just dropping your bags off with making these mats and helping find people to distribute the mats. And, you know, it's a great project. It's a real grassroots effort.
Well, you know, Dave, and that goes right along with the virtue of charity that Jesus instructs us to be very benevolent with. Because a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not comfortable going to the jail or visiting people I don't really know, or going into a nursing home or something and visiting with people I don't know. Here's a great way, folks, for you to be of service to God's children and to fulfill that virtue of charity.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point. As this project started, Sister Marguerite got me hooked, and I announced in our admin meeting that we were collecting plastic bags. And then all of a sudden, my office was overtaken with plastic bags.
Isn't that neat?
Because, you know, my skill set is not crocheting. That is definitely Sister Marguerite. And Paula does a great job with her volunteers. And so it really has taken off. I'm the bag collector, so
hey, that's a good thing.
I contribute, and I've got friends that give me bags, staff give me bags, so I did have to talk Paul into storing our bags. But and then we had our the open house, the volunteer open house everyone had made certain items, and Sister Marguerite sat in there for the afternoon and demonstrated how easy it was if you can crochet. And as a result of that, how many volunteers did you get after that day?
Oh, I think I got 15 probably.
So,
on that list.
I mean, and that, we need crocheters. Yeah. And I think that was just a great way to get it out there. And Paula's team jumped on full force.
When do they do this? I mean, is there a certain time everybody gets together and does it? Or do people do it on their own? Is it like a coffee clutch where you can have coffee and make mats?
Well, the volunteer office is going to set up a time. They're in the process of moving now, but once they get their room set up, they'll be doing it all the time. Right now, all you need is a little bit of space to collect plastic bags for us and flatten them out and then bring them into us flat, which would be ideal. You could fold them in half gently, but bring them in flat, and that would save a big chunk of time.
Okay.
And then when we get our space, we'll be dividing up duties, see who's the good cutter, who are the crocheters, who can just simply loop these strips and put them into balls. It's amazing how many steps go into this, and the skill set does not have to be way out there. We can use if you have hands that work, we can use you. And the other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, we're really doing the environment a favor.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't just recycled plastic bags. These are bags that the recycle places do not want.
Right.
They don't want these in the system. They gum up the works. So
that's right.
We're doing the environment a big favor.
That's why I call them urban tumbleweeds. You see them blowing across the road and getting hung up in a tree. And if they get hung up in a tree, they're there for the whole winter.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, crocheting wouldn't be my forte. I go through a whole box of Band-Aids every time I try and sew a button back on a shirt or a pair of jeans.
You'd be a good supervisor.
I'm a good bag collector.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the volunteers are needed, so if our listeners are interested, and I think some people out there will do this. We'll collect the bags, flatten them out, bring them to St. Mary's. In fact, I'm going to take a picture of the mat that Sister brought in today, and I'll put it on our Facebook page so that y'all at home can see what a neat item this is and how it helps people that really need our help. You know, so if you're interested in helping, call Paula Owens here at the hospital at 217-464-5540. Or stop at the information desk and ask for a volunteer application. That's the desk up where the piano is and the beautiful lobby that we've done the show a couple times up in the lobby.
Yes, we have.
We ought to do it all the time up there.
Yeah, it's too much work.
It's a lot of carrying.
You've got to haul all this stuff up
there. It's a great place to have the show. So Paula Owens at 464-5540. If you can collect bags, cut bags, loop strips, or crochet mats to help out with the project here of making mats for the homeless here at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, and a couple other churches that Sister mentioned. Was it First Christian?
It's all done at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit, Mount Zion, on Mondays. Monday morning they get together in the church hall, and the First Christian Church from Mount Zion has joined these ladies. But oddly enough, we're running out of crocheters, so we are really interested in those. And another plug I wanted to put for Google, you can Google mats for the homeless, and you can see many different recipes and all kinds of pictures, but ours are unique.
Yes, they are. Well, we're so glad you ladies joined us this morning to fill us in on this great project, a great local project, a grassroots thing where people, listeners, parishioners can get involved in helping make these mats to make the winter just a little more tolerable for the homeless. As you're driving around town today, keep your eyes open and look around, and you may just spot Jesus out there somewhere, and he may need your help, and he may need a mat. So let's all get involved. When you sign up to help this project, tell our ladies here that you heard us talking about it on WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio, and collect those bags and get them down here.
And we don't want them wadded up, right, Sister? A lot of people take them and wad them up and stuff them in.
If that's how you have them, we'll take them. But from here on out, we would prefer you flatten them.
Yeah.
Just one step.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can come up with a big piece of cardboard to lay on top of them to help flatten them out. And
we're going to put them in tubs and keep them flat after they get here. And we can straighten after they get here. But it just eliminates that first step.
Super.
But if that's the only way you got them, we'll take them.
Okay. All right.
Now, I think one other thing to clarify, you don't have to sign up to volunteer just to bring bags.
You can just bring bags.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, I'd call that volunteering.
You don't need to sign up or go through any process.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Sister Marguerite Cook, Jill Crum, and Paula Owens of the Mats for the Homeless Project here in Decatur. On Catholic Radio, Mark and I will be back on the other side to talk about.
And next time when they're here, they're going to bring an adult mat, and I'm going to lay on it and take a nap and prove how comfy it is.
Brother. Hey. Cradle and the Convert here on Catholic Radio, and aren't we all glad Mark's back? We'll see you in a minute.
WDCR now presents Classic Christmas Carols. Angels We Have Heard on High is a classic Christmas hymn written in 1862 by Bishop James Chadwick, the Bishop of Hexham and Newcastle in England. Bishop Chadwick set the hymn to the tune of a French song called L'Anne dans nos campagnes. The bishop's lyrics are unique and original, but were clearly influenced by the original French song. The lyrics are taken from the Gospel of Luke, specifically when the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem encounter a multitude of heavenly hosts. The angels' words to the shepherds become the chorus of the hymn, Gloria in excelsis Deo, which is Latin for glory to God in the highest. The hymn has been translated into virtually every language around the world and has been performed by the Carpenters, Josh Groban, the Brian Setzer Orchestra, among others.
All right, welcome back. And now WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio presents the weekly column from Bishop Thomas John Paparocki from the Catholic Times. So, Bishop, take it away.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome. This week's issue of Catholic Times is the first issue in our new magazine format. The changes our readers see in the physical copy are not just in appearance, but rather